If you're looking for professional help, look no further than RAM Accounting and Consulting. Corporate assurance tax services, accounting and consulting services specializing in small business and non-for-profit organizations, personal finance and tax accounting, GST preparation, audit preparation, AGLC compliance and reporting, payroll and compliance services. You can contact them on their website or you can phone them at 403-336-3640. Their website is ramaccounting.ca.
Welcome to the Business Life of Husband and Wife podcast.
A show based on real experiences in business and life.
Hey guys, welcome back. Episode 26. This is your bonus episode. Episode 26, your Q&A with Clint and Robin. So as you guys know, we have three formats. First format is we bring on couples and they discuss their businesses and how they go about things and trials and tribulations they've gone through. And then we have format number two, which is?
We have experts that come on. So this can be anyone from a lawyer, accountant, HR specialist, marketing specialist that come on and give us their best advice.
Yeah. And three, we have our Q&A episode, which is today.
Woo-hoo!
And that's basically so people who are just first-time listeners, we are doing the Q&A. We're doing four of those episodes for you because we set goals, and when we set goals, we want to hit them. And we wanted to hit 52 episodes, and we're only going to hit 48 because we didn't launch the podcast till February. So these are your bonus episodes, and they get released midweek.
Mm-hmm.
So without further ado, let's answer
the
questions.
Wade,
we got
here.
Wade with us today, so let's do some questions.
How's it going today, guys?
Woo-hoo.
All right, what sort of management tools do you guys use, and how do you utilize your time wearing multiple hats?
Time management tools, I would say the best one for our lives would have to be the good old family scheduling app called Timetree. I think in a previous episode, we actually went through all of this. So we use this app. Everything's color-coded within it, depending on what business it's related to and what project it's related to. All of our teams have access to this. They can correspond to us through this app, either with pictures or text messages, that type of thing. And that would be my favorite one. And that's that app called Timetree.
I think we can take that a different direction because we've already answered that question slightly differently, but we can take that question on how we manage our time.
Yep.
So basically we spend the vast majority of our time in the business right now and then working on the business in the evening still here and there. just in the last little while, we had to step back a little bit. We had that two steps forward, one step back.
We had a little blip.
Little blip in your business as you're growing. So basically for our time management, it comes down to just like planning and executing on that
and
plan.
And prioritizing
our lists. And the guys know that this is what we do. Like Wade knows we just started doing this with everybody where they start making their own lists and their own little power list of five critical tasks from Andy Frisella that they can implement, and they can start to just like five tasks that are super important that'll help you execute on the day, whether it's like benefiting the finances of the business, benefiting the project they're working on, whatever it might be. So I think when it comes to time management, is like you want to try and get those done as soon as possible and as effective as possible and get those out of the way. And then everything else throughout your day is kind of gravy for your time. So those are your critical tasks for your business for moving forward, right? So we try to do that. So whether it's like, hey, we need to close this sale or finish this estimate and get it out the door because it's like a closing tender bid, or whether we're okay this morning, for example, guys, like we knew we had to get two podcasts in this week. We know that we've got limited time because we're super busy and with two birds in the other business. So what we do is we came in this morning, we recorded the first episode this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We worked in the business and we're going all day and the rest of the day. And now here at 4:45, we're just going to quickly do this Q&A episode for you guys and get it done and give you guys as much value. So when it comes to time management, it's just planning and scheduling and making sure you just execute on that schedule as fast as possible.
And we always remind ourselves that we like to do, well, we don't like to, but we do the hard things first.
Yeah. And that's a big one. Do the things you don't want to do first, because those are the ones that you usually are dreading at night or don't want to do.
Yeah.
And that just allows you to just use your time better because you feel better. And when you feel better,
you're more productive.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So how do you actually execute on your goals? Do you find it difficult to complete each task sometimes?
I wouldn't say I do actually, not anymore. Used to, for sure. Yeah. I used to like dread doing, like, then that goes back to doing the hard things first. I used to fucking dread it. Just hated it going in, like, cause you just knew you, like, you didn't want to make that call. And it was just like a lack of willingness to grow and to be like, just, man,
the things that are hard, they ultimately impact your growth and they make you a better person. So
well, they I think when your business, you're like, usually too,
when you're in your early 20s, you don't want to do stuff that's hard.
Well, no, as you're growing, you're always looking, everyone always looks for the easy button, but there's no easy button.
No.
So that easy button kind of like kicks your ass. So I don't find it as hard. I did when we first started, I found it a lot more complicated to, you know, execute on those goals. Mm-hmm. Now the goals are just bigger than they were. Like those small ones, they seem so trivial now when you look back at like how we were, you know, worried about the such, it was sweating small shit that like, and that's important to sweat because you really want to make sure you're doing really well in the small things because it makes the big things easier. But I think for moving and executing on the goals now, because they're such bigger goals, you have to really think about how you set your goals in place for them big goals. So basically you really need to like start your planning and your on so that your plan is in place. Mm-hmm. So if you guys go back to our value added section, the very first value add on the website has that planning guide, and that has a breakdown of setting your goals. So setting your five goals, and then each one has a separate chart. So each goal you set and how you're going to execute on that. And I find like refreshing yourself, going back and looking at that for me anyway, like you go back and look at those.
It's a super helpful visual tool.
I guess I just don't find it as hard as it used to. And I'm sure there's going to be, and in the moment, I'm just, because we've gone through so much ups and downs the last 3 weeks, it's just like, it's almost like water off a duck's back anymore. It's like, okay, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I wouldn't say that there's anything specific that I find that's difficult anymore. It's just, you know, buckle up and get it done. Really, you don't have a choice. You know, it's that zero options mentality, really.
Mm-hmm. Get in and get it done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you find the right people for the job? Have you tried any hiring platforms?
Ooh, hiring. We're going into that one.
Fun question.
Yeah, we've tried hiring platforms. They're okay. We had some headhunters come in.
Yeah.
And looking for different people and things like that. But again, the headhunters don't have that culture or that core values when they're going in.
Yeah, we've shifted our hiring process a little bit. We used to go like based off resume and initial interaction, that type of thing. But now we tend to just chuck people in for a day of work and see how they meld.
Yeah, and even like a week, right? You just chuck them in, and if you fit with the team that we have in place now and the guys we have in place, and you kind of have that, you know right away from the feedback from the other guys.
Yeah.
Whether the person coming in is willing to learn, they're accepting of what we're trying to do.
They're excited to be there.
They're pushing themselves as well, and they're kind of getting immersed in that, and they actually like want to be there, and they're kind of involved.
Yeah.
So for hiring purposes, because it's such a different, what we do is so different than traditional hiring. And I don't, resumes are so easy to fudge. Like it's pretty easy to say you do all this stuff and then, well, prove it. Right. Yeah. So you can't really like give someone an offer letter and then, you know, give them their 3 months and you got to like, you know, you go through all those HR processes of hiring and firing. So what we do is we just do contractors for that purpose on a lot of our business end is that way. I mean, their dollars and is up to them, their execution and how well they finish and provide what they say they can do. Mm-hmm. But again, they got to fit with the guys. Yeah. They got to fit with like the no holds back. Like we're very honest. We're very open with what's going on, with what's happening, the issues we're having in the business, and trying to get everyone to move in the same direction. So really at the end of the day,
it's very business specific.
Yeah.
That's a tricky one.
It's going to be specific to the business and the niche you're in. Right.
But if you want like any guidance or anything there, I think one of our resources, like Key Instincts, is an amazing resource to use.
Well, yeah, they're gonna actually help you guys too. Yeah. So if you go and check that out, that's again in the value add, you can actually find out what kind of person, you can actually run people through a personality test to see how they're going to fit within the group that you already have. So you run your guys through a personality test to see how everyone fits and then and they all kind of fit together and then you can run people through a personality test. Well, we haven't done it. Like we just have a different kind of culture in our business, a different kind of value that we just bring in to people that want to work.
Yeah. That match our core values.
Match what we're trying to do. Yeah. But that's something you guys can do if you're looking for the traditional hiring process. I don't believe in the traditional approach of interviews even anymore.
No, it doesn't work for our niche.
No, I just don't think it works because you can tell a lot from like a personal interview and there people are nervous when they're doing a sitting across a table and you've got three other people. And we've done that process. We did that 5-6 years ago. We used to hire people like and sit in a panel and like kind of interview, ask questions. It doesn't give people that to open up. to, you know, be a little bit more honest about where they're at and like what their goals are.
And give them the benefit.
It doesn't tell you anything yet either.
No. It just tells you how good they are under pressure when they're stressed.
Yeah. And it's not even the same kind of stress.
No.
There's a different pressure of like answering questions correctly, what you think that they're going to want to hire you versus what.
Yeah, they're telling you what you want to hear.
Right.
Versus 100%.
When you bring somebody in and you actually throw them into a test to see if they're like, and you put them to work for a couple, 3-4 days, that to me is a better alternative for hiring people.
Yeah,
to
make sure that they actually, well for us.
Yeah.
What sort of financial planning strategies do you guys implement in the business, and how do you guys set your budgets for the short and long term?
Oh, there's a few.
Yeah, start with the biggest one that we do is our 10% rule, which I think we've kind of dived into a little bit before, but that's not really planning.
No, that's planning. But that's an execution too.
Yeah.
That's something that you were very good at. I'm not so good at it, but you're excellent at making sure that. So the rule is, guys, it doesn't matter if we make $1, $10, $100, $1,000, whatever it is. We'll keep the numbers in the math simple. 10% of that goes into what we call an UPS fund. And that other fund is something that we don't touch unless something drastic happens and we really need to dip into it. So when you're budgeting and building your plan around it, you basically have this cash flow reserve, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for some businesses unless your cost accounting is set up and you're kind of knowing what you're getting monthly and you kind of have a good kind of, you know, a year under your belt or 6 months under your belt of where you're going to be. Mm-hmm. And you know the waves and the months and what's kind of what your up and downs are. But when it comes to budgeting for that, we just know that if it's a $3,000 check that's coming in, $300 of that is going into that other fund. And then you deal with budgeting on the $2,700 and checking to see how you did on your, whether or not you're making money on that project that you completed, or, you know, you're making money on your sales and your margins and all that kind of stuff. That's just like a guaranteed. And that's also like, that doesn't include your tax fund. That doesn't include your GST fund. That doesn't include, that's just like off the top. And that fucking saves your bacon. It did it for us, especially during COVID a couple times.
Yeah, the beginning of COVID.
Like you get shut down and you're at the mercy of stupidity and you're sitting there and you're like, well, now I got guys to pay. I got people to keep, like, I can't just let them all walk. And like, what are they like? Yeah, they can go on like whatever government subsidy, but that's not good for them.
No.
Right. So they need to be working and like doing something and being able to pay them. So you have that ability in rent, like landlords, a lot of them wouldn't negotiate with people. So I think that that's just part of that 10% rule. And I really like that rule. I just really like how it, and it's a simple, it's fucking an old rule. Mm-hmm. I think Harv T. Eck from The Millionaire Mindset.
Yeah.
He talks about that in his book. I think, when did I read that? I read that about 6 months ago now again. And he really talks about it, but he has a whole bunch of other alternatives. I think he goes into, and you can look that book up. It's an awesome book, but it's got different strategies you can use personally and business related just to get your mind wrapped around. Like, that's how you're going to make some money maybe for the down to help buy your commercial building. It's a fund to help push you forward more or less.
And also when it comes to this, like, your accountant's there for not just your end. Your accountant is there to help you plan the financial side of everything. So use that resource as a resource rather than just your tax planning.
Yeah.
Right?
No, for sure. And tax planning is another big one, right? Like, that's another budgeting thing. You got to be aware of what the ratios are and what you think you're going to pay based on your net income. So that's just going back and looking at your books, understanding your income statements, knowing how much you think you might pay. Mm-hmm. So that you put enough aside just in case, right? I mean, yeah, there's lots of write-offs and things you can do, but it's preparedness. So when it comes to budgeting, I think the big one is the 10%. Two, cost accounting. Seriously, seriously, look at your cost accounting. It sucks.
I understand
it. It's the worst part because every product has to go under the microscope. Everything you sell, every service, you need to go under the microscope. And how much does it cost to manufacture this widget? How much does it cost now? Now I got to go, okay, so trucking, supply, purchasing, there's a whole chain that leads up to from wholesale to retail, from manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So, and then there's all the in between distribution and storage and all this kind of stuff. So when you get into doing your cost accounting, there's a lot of different nuances to knowing what product, and you have to go through each one to make sure you're charging enough to make the profit, but you're not gouging people on the other end, because that's not right either. That's you're harming the client too. Mm-hmm. So you really need to look into that to make sure that product's even viable to budget for it, right? So you can't budget to build say manufacture, like what we do, manufacture a barn door without knowing how many pieces go into a door, how much the interior core is going to cost, how much the hardware costs, how much the labor costs, how many hours,
how many nails.
We went through all of it. Mm-hmm. So we kind of go through, and it's not fun. It's not, but it's part of, like, you have to literally each product and how much you go through and what you're using. Now there's going to be, you got to go into your variances, mm-hmm. right? You're going to have variances on both end. I don't know if you guys, for those of you who don't know accounting, you can go in and you can look at the variance charts, and you'll have variances either way on every product, and you just have to account for that. So that's something I would say for budgeting, just do your cost accounting. It's huge. Or if you don't know how to do it, outsource it and get an accountant right. to come in and do some cost accounting with you. Make sure your products are budgeted right.
Yeah, I agree.
When's the right time to start paying yourself? How do you guys go about that?
Oh, Jesus. I don't think he can help me either. I don't know if there's ever a right time to do it, because to be perfectly honest, like when we first paid ourselves, like the very first time actually paid ourselves, we realized that it was great for about 2 months, and then we were like, shit, well now we're hindering our growth.
Yep.
So you got that fine line of like, you start paying yourself what you think you're worth, but then are you need to hire someone to help mitigate some other thing in your business to help with your growth. Well, you need to be able to really
take a pay cut so the business can grow,
and you step back,
and it's just a constant.
Yeah. And I think there's no really rhyme or reason. Like every once in a while it's just a constant, like, it's a staircase.
It is. Slash a slide sometimes. Sorry.
Yeah. Deadfall.
Little snakes and ladders game every once in a while here.
Every once in a while.
That's actually a good analogy for it though. It's like kind of like snakes and ladders. You climb in the ladder and then all of a sudden you hit that snake and you're like, oh, realization, I need to outsource and hire this. And I'm at a point now where we can.
Or purchase a piece of equipment, or like there's always something to help you grow, right?
And it comes down to where you want to take your business too. Like if you're happy staying in that small business, taking your paycheck, you got your house that you're happy with and you're happy and you're providing with what you want, that's mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. Then you found that, then pay yourself. Yeah. That's fine.
And really when it comes to the structure of paying yourself, I think Robin, when she was on here for RAM accounting, went over the basics of it, where you can either pay yourself as an employee, pay yourself as a contractor, or there's a dividend as well. So there's the option of doing a combination. Well,
and that comes back to that 10% rule too, right? So if you want to, if you're sitting there and you're like, man, I kind of need to pay myself, I got to do something here. That's fine, but you got that 10%. Oops, if you need to pull $5,000 or $10,000 out of to pay yourself, you use it as a dividend. You can, if you're in a bind.
You can, but you're not allowed.
Yeah, Robin's like, don't touch that.
Don't you touch that? Whoops. But
that is one of those things that if you're preparing for if you need to draw. But like, a lot of us are just drawing money because we're living outside of our means sometimes, or we're forced to because of unforeseen circumstances or whatever it might be. There's so many nuances with paying yourself, right? I'm okay with living on the cheap. Like we don't have to have crazy anything. I don't need to be rocking around.
We have other priorities, right? The business is the priority. So we keep the money there.
Well, exactly. Right. So that is a hindrance end to itself too, right? So it depends on your goals. Do you want to buy a house? Then you got to pay yourself, and you have to, because the bank's going to look at you and be like, yeah, you make nothing.
How do you live?
Right. So you have to figure out where that balance is for you and what you guys require to do. But I think taking the step back is the hardest thing everyone does. Cause once you start feeling comfortable with what you're getting paid, you forget that, oh, you're like, well, I need that money now. Well, do you really?
No.
Like it's extra in its savings account, but is it going to help you grow to the next level? And do you want to grow to the next level? Like, do you want to go from $1 million a year to 10 million? Do you want to go six figures to seven? Do you want to go seven to eight? What do you want to do?
It all depends on what your goals are, right? And that's part of the business planning. And you should know that as a business owner, you should know what your goals are and have those goals set. And it all changes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of it has to do with tax planning too and tax strategies.
Yeah. And I think I said everyone has a different perspective on that. Like, again, like if you're doing it for a tax planning purpose, I guess you're going to probably leave more in the business and take less, but then you won't be able to buy your house if you want to buy a house. But if you already have your house and you're using it as leverage in your business, to get loans and to expand the business, there's a lot of variance in it, but paying yourself, you got to realize the business pays a lot of your living expenses more than you think. Mm-hmm. Right. So company cell phone. Okay. Company truck. There's company insurance. that stuff's all kind of umbrellaed when you're running a company, that you have that ability to take that. Those are write-offs for your business and you're utilizing those. So that's, you can almost take that when you're budgeting, if you should pay yourself, how much would that cost you if you took that and lost all that and had to pay that personally? Mm-hmm. And that's where you can kind of sit and figure out, okay, do I need to draw $5,000 or $10,000 a month as a small business owner, or do I just need to draw like $2,000 or $1,000 each or whatever we do? Like, it's not, it's just a matter of figuring that out. Like, yeah. Is the business going to cover
that magical number?
That's again with your tax planning. Like, if you're going to have a whole bunch of things under the business umbrella and you don't really need much, don't take it much.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys still offer workshops?
Yeah.
Is it just for couples?
No.
Or can it be business partners too?
I really enjoyed how you asked that question. Yeah,
just like, just a subtle, like, is Nicole not allowed to come?
Like, who you want to kick our asses with this time?
No, yes. So we're still doing workshops. We just had, had a little bit of a hiccup and a little bit of a breather on that, just to make sure that we were giving you guys
organizational.
Yeah. And giving break. You guys as much information as possible on it and making sure that it was organized correctly before, because I just don't like putting things on half-assed.
No.
So we didn't have all the things in a row to make it as viable as it should be for you guys who are going to be joining us and people who have asked us, because really there was only like a day plan, and I want to have it as like a full 2-day weekend, full immersed, mm-hmm. fully like being able to communicate with your business partner or your partner or whatever you're doing, and everyone can come in, and it's going to be very, very business oriented and communication based.
Yeah. So therefore it's beneficial for business partners and stuff as well. Yeah.
It's beneficial for everybody to mm-hmm. just move away from the business, go into that mindset, and it's just a full on refresh for 2 days. And it's like dialed in, because there's only going to be 10 people.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just for 5 groups, and you can really get that one-on-one with the speakers we have and with us if you need information, and you're going to get a little more value because it's a tighter knit group.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's your business specific as well. Like,
exactly.
We take all the background and all that information prior to the weekend, so we can do a little bit of a deep dive.
So it's still happening. It's going to be in September,
yep.
more than likely, but we just wanted to make sure that it was done right. And you guys weren't just coming in and it was just another typical rah-rah bullshit.
We're not rah-rah weekend, folks.
And that's not the truth. That's not reality. That's not how things really work.
No.
Right? We all know that who run businesses, and you really want to dive into the back end of your business. The other thing you can do is you can sign up with Community Futures with us. So in September, Robin and I are doing a mentorship program with Community Futures. So you'll see the promo ads coming out, I don't know, in a couple of weeks. We're filming Thursday.
Soonish, yeah. Our profiles and everything are up. So,
yeah. So you guys can register. It's free. It's a mentorship one-on-one program. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long it lasts. You'd have to look. I can't remember. I think it's a full year.
Yeah.
I think it's a full year. And you get 4 hours a month with us. So it's like an hour a week, or you can cram it all into an afternoon or whatever we end up doing. It's kind of specific. And then, we have access. So you guys can look at that and go and sign up if that's something that you're interested in. So that's also another thing that we're doing. So
awesome.
Nice. That's it.
That's it for today. Sweet. Thank you so much to everyone that submitted questions. And again, if you'd like to submit them for future episodes, it is on the top right-hand corner of our website, which is businesslifeofhusbandandwife.ca. And you can also submit them on all of our social media platforms as well, which is Instagram, Facebook, and the TikTok.
Oh, the TikTok. Okay, thanks, guys. We appreciate it. As always, please like, share, and subscribe. If you find something that you really liked in this and you think someone's going to get value, just share it. That's how we're growing the show. It's awesome that we can get people coming up to us and that have shared the show with other people. And, we're getting new followers and go from there. So thanks, guys.
Awesome. Thanks.
Running a business without an HR consultant is like driving a car without insurance. It's dangerous and can end up costing you a lot of money. Key Instincts is an online HR consultant firm that can help you with all your human resource essentials. From the stuff you just don't have time for, like writing up contracts and documentation, to getting the right people in the right seats through talent acquisition, and let's not forget about helping you create an outstanding company culture. Connect with us online at www.keyinstincts.com or email us at hello@keyinstincts.com. Key Instincts. Putting the human back in human resources.
As always, thanks for listening. Make sure to follow, share, and subscribe online. Check us out on all social medias at Business Life of Husband and Wife.